conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now, on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Well, welcome. On Wednesdays, Wayne Winston and I talk it up about racial issues, and it seems like we never run out of them. This one is really a beauty that's resulting in a lawsuit. Welcome, Wayne. Welcome to the show today. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to recap for our audience. So let me just tell you this. Jason P. Gladstone is a resident of Fairfield, and he is sued. Originally, he sued Laura Carson. But now he has also moved to include Elizabeth Zazima, Hallie Levine, Catherine Curley, and Maria C. DiPiero as additional defendants in a defamation action. Now, this has to do with the fact that the plaintiff, in other words, the person suing, Jason Gladstone, is angry and he believes he's been defamed as a result of an email that he himself... He did an email, and in his email to Brenda Kupchick, who is the state, I want to find the whole thing here. Hold on, I'm going to find it right here. Wait a minute. I had it in front of me. I want to get the whole thing right here, the summons and complaint. Here we go. So what happened was he wrote an email to Brenda Kupchick, and he's angry that Laura Carson, who is a member of the RTM for District 4 in Fairfield, posted a copy of that email on a Facebook page and then characterized the email in his view, making statements in his view that he says are defamatory, because basically saying that because he wrote this email, he was a racist. And what this was about, what the original thing was about the fact that he, Jason Gladstone, was upset that the principal of Ward High School wrote a letter to the public at large in which the principal was talking about trying to address certain racist acts or things that he thought were racist in the schools. And Jason commented that he really didn't particularly like the way the principal was characterizing the whole community as having white privilege or whatever the words were that were used. And he was upset about that. And now he says that his remarks were taken out of context or were ascribed motivations that really weren't fair to him. And now he is suing a member of the RTM and four other members of the Fairfield community for defamation. They are, of course, claiming that they have the right to free speech, that they're entitled to say what they said, that they're protected for saying what they said, and there was no intent to defame. And in fact, Laura Carson immediately retracted her statement and took it down upon immediately being asked to do so by Jason Gladstone. So, Wayne Winston, I want to get to the details of this. Do you happen to have the email in front of you? I'm looking to find it here.
Oh, I can definitely grab it for you. Okay. You want me to send it to you?
Here we go. Or... let me see here. Here we go. This is what it was. Okay, okay, let's see. Michael Cummings, not the principal, pardon me. Michael Cummings is the superintendent of Fairfield Schools. He sent an email out to the Fairfield Public Schools community on March 19, 2021. And he wrote this: "Good morning. This past summer, in the wake of national demonstrations and conversations about racism, I was confronted with my own personal anger, shame, and fear about the long history of racism in our country. I committed to addressing the greater issues within our school system and leading us to be part of the solution. Now, when acts of violence against Asian Americans are on the rise, I'm compelled to recognize that our equity work must be broad and truly inclusive. Once again, I reaffirm the commitments I made last year." And then he goes on to say, "Fairfield Public Schools is committed to continuing to examine our own policies and inherent biases." And he says, "We continue to commit to raising staff awareness of biases because they stand in the way of the fulfillment of our district mission to, quote, ensure that every student acquires the knowledge and skills needed to be a lifelong learner, responsible citizen, successful participant in ever-changing global society. Quote, we commit to being anti-racist in our expectations and actions, et cetera. We commit to listening and investigating racist behavior. Together, when we commit to living our values, we make our schools stronger, safer, better. Take care, Mike Cummings, Superintendent of Schools." Here we go, Wayne. Here it is. On that same date, the plaintiff, Jason Gladstone, responded to Cummings' email and copied, among others, parents and a host of other elected officials, including the defendant, who's a member of the Fairfield RTM. Here's what the plaintiff's email said. This is the email that's the subject of the defamation complaint. Mr. Cummings, I am truly offended that you would insinuate that I am inherently racist or biased within your March 19th email. You are truly out of bounds with your message. I am concerned that you are incapable of understanding this community and the people that reside here. Shocking would be a good word to describe your message. How can you possibly claim that people of this community are, quote, not aware of our own beliefs or, quote, inherently biased and, quote, do not actively work to eliminate our prejudices? Our kids need a superintendent that will stand up and believe in them, not someone who calls the community inherently biased and unknowingly racist. Your failures as a superintendent to get these kids back in school did more damage to these kids than your unsubstantiated and spurious claims of racism within this great community. Truly disappointing and out of touch with the great families that live in this community. Signed, Jason P. Gladstone. And by the way, he's a lawyer with a law firm based in Cheshire, Connecticut. So here's what happened. The defendant, Laura Carson, sent an email to First Selectwoman Brenda Kupchick on March 24th, a couple of days later. And she said, "Dear First Selectwoman Kupchick, I am writing to you to publicly defend Superintendent Cummings' email sent out Friday, March 19th, reaffirming his commitment to racial equity. The responses he received were so out of line. Since I am on the RTM D4, I was one of the recipients of an email chain initiated by Jason Gladstone in which the tone and tenor was so disrespectful and offensive. He was outraged that Mr. Cummings insinuated he was inherently racist, which couldn't be farther from the truth. What Mr. Gladstone and others on the email chain exhibited is, quote, right fragility, quote, end quote, a discomfort and defensiveness on the part of a white person when confronted by information about racial inequality and injustice. Based on these responses, it is clear much work is needed in understanding racial bias. We must understand the truth that from the moment a color of person is born, the deck is stacked against them due to the color of their skin. Throughout the pandemic, Mr. Cummings has demonstrated steady leadership, always putting the best interests of our children first. He is to be commended for dealing with all the challenges of COVID-19. These are tough times of all of us, but tearing down an educator, accusing him of calling other racists, when in fact he was trying to share his own reflections and ask for everyone in the community to do better, will not lead to a stronger Fairfield. So I am asking you, remember she's writing this to Brenda Kupchick, to speak up on his behalf and speak to the need for racial equality in our schools and town, which as demonstrated by the email chain, we so clearly need. Thank you for your time." She then posted this in a Facebook group entitled Fairfield Standing United. Okay, that which is a self-described advocacy group representing residents of Fairfield and New Haven counties, focusing on issues of advocacy of social and political issues. And then the defendant, and then Jason Gladstone asked her to take it down. She did take it down, and then he sued her. So, and then he amended his lawsuit to include a bunch of other people as well. So, Wayne Winston. That's a lot in an introduction, but I wanted to get the facts right. And by the way, the suit is intentional infliction of emotional distress, negligent infliction of emotional distress, defamation, and false light. So I know you're not a lawyer, Wayne, but this is an issue about, at its heart, about how we begin to talk about race. And I'm wondering your thoughts on this. 203-333-9422. You who are listening are welcome to join in and pitch in. This is a conversation about how a conversation about race has been elevated to a civil lawsuit against a standing member of the RTM in Fairfield about defamation and infliction of emotional distress. So, Wayne, go ahead. What do you think?
Well, one, I think it's such a tragedy because we're in a racially polarized country at this moment. The triggers that have happened to people on one side or the other, the trigger of the movement to deal with racism, and then the trigger of the movement to somehow tamp it down and say it doesn't really exist. Mr. Gladstone is kind of right in that vein, you know. I think it was courageous and the right thing that the that the superintendent did, because our kids should feel safe in school. And he's taking his stand saying, basically, you know, we're going to get to the bottom of whatever these issues of race are. And, you know, we're pledging that. The white fragility, the issues that we're talking about on this show and in other places around this entire country, where it's we're finally bringing things to the surface. You know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, how people didn't know about when we talk about our founding fathers and race played a role there. It's like he's saying those things that don't exist. And he's actually saying that because he pointed out, the superintendent points out that these are the reasons that we have struggles because we're not fixing it. And then he wants to sue because it sounds like he must have got some blowback from his statement. So now he feels attacked. It's just absurd. In the end, so, I mean, we can always talk about how we feel about what's going on in America. That is our right. That is what the protests are for. So for Laura to step up and send something like that let me back up. So for Kupchick to be in this whole loop as doing something negative is totally crazy. So this man is part of what his thinking is, what we are fighting and trying to get through right now. You know, I do a Zoom talk during the week, and the majority of the people that are on the Zoom when we're talking about racism and anti-racism, they're offended by not knowing what these things are. We are identifying systemic racism. We're making sure that people have a context for it. And that's critically important. And that's what was happening here. So I'm assuming that if I remember correctly, they're trying to dismiss the case because it doesn't.
Well, that's always, I mean, that's a civil thing. Of course, they're going to try and dismiss the case. They'll argue the case. They'll counterclaim. They'll do whatever they're going to do. But yes, I mean, and I, you know, and we can follow that in terms of seeing whether I'll be interested to see personally as a lawyer, whether or not the free speech defense is the one that, you know, that the judge agrees with. I'll be very interested to see that because, you know, it's always when you're going to sue somebody for defamation, you have to, it has to be, and it is by definition something that conflicts with our values of free speech. So in order to be found guilty of defamation, it really has to be very specific. It has to be defamatory. It has to go to what reasonable people would say is something about you that is pejorative to your own character. It's got to be very specific. And so we'll see whether a judge considers this defamatory or whether or not, you know, because she is a public official, whether she has, but also she did take it down in response to him asking her to take it down. So I thought it was interesting that he nonetheless sued, if you know what I mean. But he sued because he said, despite taking it down from this site, that it was already out there in the public and probably could be reshared, you know, and reposted and recopied. And of course, this also, I mean, this lawsuit, regardless of the substance of this lawsuit, brings into mind, you know, how much damage can be caused on social media, no matter what it is you say. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what it is you might mean to say, if somebody gets out there and wants to characterize what you say on social media in a certain way and they've got a big following, you know, you can be sunk in terms of your reputation. That thing can follow you forever. So maybe Mr. Gladstone is also just upset because he took somebody took something and put it out there in the big world, something that he didn't necessarily mean to have so much scrutiny. I don't know. Maybe. But, you know, about the racism thing and this white fragility thing, Wayne, I think that, you know, I think we have to have a talk about this because it does offend a lot of people to be lumped in with a group. Mm. It just does. Mm. And we're going to, and you know what? A lot of black people don't like being lumped in with the assumption that criminals are mostly black. They hate that, understandably. Mm. They don't like it. They don't want that. And one can understand that because people want to be viewed as individuals. So, you know, this notion of white fragility is tough for some people to swallow, Wayne. I mean, it just is. You know, you got to know that, right? Some people can't take
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Well, but understand the perspective of that concept. It's really like saying, you know, all white people are racist. Of course not. Have we used a lot of racist dynamics to build this country? Yes. There are people in denial of that. Even constitutionally, and us being written out of the Constitution, like, well, that has no effect now. It has nothing to do with us right now. There's this process that it does affect a certain group of people in this country. If it's not you, then it wouldn't be about you. We have to make the differentiations all the time about good people and bad people throughout our lives. We're dealing with things that have to do with what a person's specific perspective and deeds are, you know, so they wouldn't be caught in that group. So, yes, because I'm black, I don't want to be seen as the black criminal because you believe all people, black people are criminals. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be able to have that spirit of discernment and go, all black people aren't like that, just as
right. And so white people are now on the defensive, I think, in a way they haven't been before. They don't want to be seen as inherently racist, Wayne. They don't want to be seen as inherently racist because of the color of their skin. Let's go to Mark from Fairfield. Mark, welcome to the show today. What are your thoughts on this? You live in Fairfield.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. My thoughts is that the superintendent is absolutely right, that he's just trying to make racial equality for all within the Fairfield school systems. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, hi. Thank you, Mark. Yep.
Hi.
Wayne, you
I
there?
Yes,
yeah.
I'm here.
So you commend him for the letter and the spirit and the tone of what he was writing.
Absolutely. I think people are just, I don't know who, I just kind of come in on the loop. The guy actually filled me in on what really was happening. But I do believe that, you know, we should take one-fifth, black men are only worth one-fifth out of the Constitution or whatever it's in. That's kind of old, and we should change the Second Amendment to fit the times of today, you know, those two things. But definitely Jason Gladstone is way out of line for suing the Board of Education.
And these people have to now figure out how they're going to pay for a defense counsel. I mean, question is whether or not, you know, the town will defend Laura because of the fact that she is an RTM member. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know whether these people are going to have to dig in their own pockets to get lawyers to defend them. There are a lot more defendants that have been added to this lawsuit. All right, we're going to come right back, Mark. Thanks for the call. We're with Wayne Winston. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show. We're talking race and defamation in Fairfield. We'll be right back.
A conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show, 203-333-9422. Wayne Winston, welcome back. If you're joining us now, we're talking about a lawsuit that is pending, one that alleges intentional and negligent infliction of emotional distress and defamation with respect to an original email written by the superintendent of schools, Michael Cummings, to the community at large, and going a little bit inward about how he viewed his own sort of racial reckoning and trying to root it out in Fairfield schools as part of a commitment to social justice and equity. And he used words like inherently racist in certain phrases that upset Jason Gladstone, a member of the community and a lawyer, who wrote a letter to Brenda Kupchick saying that he thought that this was just the wrong attitude on behalf of the superintendent. That was responded to by Laura Carson, who is a member of the RTM in Fairfield, with her own response saying that she appreciated the superintendent's letter and that she thought that Jason Gladstone had it all wrong. Jason Gladstone responded with a lawsuit, which is now pending in civil court, suing her and then amending his complaint to add several other people who he says were recipients of this email chain that he believes defamed his character and characterized him in a way that hurts his reputation and damages him. And so that case is pending, and we invite your thoughts on it at 203-333-9422. Wayne Winston will take up the baton. Mark from Fairfield just called. Do you want to comment on his conversation.
Yes, and let me say, just period, most white people are not racist. Are there things that they don't understand and are affected by stereotypes that have been around since the founding fathers? Yes. But that's a whole different thing of being racist. And I want to be clear with that. So we know who those folks are primarily because, being honest, a lot of them in our families and so on. And I know too many myself that share that happen to not be black. That being said, Marx says something very profound. And that is to change the Constitution, and it's three-fifths of a man that our Constitution says that black people
yes.
are.
Yes, yes.
That is a huge thing, and I have to say, the many people I talk to, I mean, I've not heard someone say, just change it from three-fifths to what it should be, and I don't know if it's something to have it struck down and so that – you know, all men are created equal, that this means that all men, because it is that amendment that caused the trigger, because it's one thing to not like someone or not like a race or even a person. It's another one when you back it up with a law, because that was the catalyst during all of these centuries so that we would be treated a certain way and stay subservient to be, you know, a lower class person and someone to serve, you know, white people. So we have such an awakening right now, and I really enjoy so much of this show and the other things, because the majority of people have good hearts. And once they start to talk about it and get these things on the table, you know, the CRT that's going on, the critical racial theory, which is a whole nother
We'll get to that. I'm sure we'll get to that. But you know what, Wayne? I do want to say what this is. It was known as the Three-Fifths Compromise. It was a compromise agreement between delegates from the northern and southern states at the Constitutional Convention back in 1787. It doesn't use the word slavery anywhere in it, ironically enough. But the compromise was that three-fifths of the slave population would be counted for determining direct taxation and representation in the House of Representatives. Obviously, after the slaves were freed, this entire part of the Constitution becomes what we would call moot, right? It doesn't matter anymore because there are no more people to be counted in the compromise. So when we passed the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments during the 1860s, this older wording from the U.S. Constitution becomes completely irrelevant, and it is completely irrelevant today. But I think, as part of a historical document, when you're talking about a great reckoning, I think it's important to read it as it originally was and not erase it, because, you know, in the important quest to have better empathy and understanding between peoples, looking at historical documents, reading them, things stay in your mind. You know, Wayne, recently, well, I think within the last couple of years anyway, pre-COVID seems like, you know, we skipped a year, but before COVID, there was a Westport Historical Society exhibition on slavery in Westport.
Mm.
And I went to see it. It's right across the street from Town Hall. The Historical Society is fabulous. And I went to see it more than once, and I took people there. And I have to tell you that seeing the books,
mm-hmm.
of people's inventory of leaving mm-hmm. this world with Negroes, okay, that's what they were called, Negroes, right? So one Negro yes. slave, 15 years yes. old, one Negro slave, 27 years old, right? In the books, in handwriting.
Yes.
Made slavery here in my world of Connecticut more real to me than reading about it in a textbook. And
understood.
You know what I'm saying? So instead
understand.
Of, in my view, you don't erase the documents. In fact, on the contrary. You show as many people as who will see them the documents. You show them where we were to where we are, because when you see it in black and white, you're forced to reckon with it.
Your point is well taken. Your point is well taken. You know, it is absolutely something that we are in a place where we're trying to make the world a better one. And I can tell you, I just see it and I feel it. But just like the civil rights movement, it didn't all happen overnight. It's in incrementations. And I want to thank you for coming out to the Juneteenth celebration.
Oh, I had such a great
Saturday.
Time.
It was phenomenal to have you there. And our Congressman Himes was there and Senator Blumenthal. They have been coming forever. And the city of Bridgeport, just so you know, has been celebrating Juneteenth for the last 29 years. Next year will be 30 years that we celebrated this end of slavery. We have the longest running one in Connecticut. There's some in other parts of the country like Texas and so on that have gone longer, but we have the longest and the largest one. So I invite everybody for next year, but definitely, you know, understand Juneteenth is an American holiday. It's something we can all be happy about because it was part of the Great Correction, as I call it, that we have these moments in history. So Lisa,
all right,
I'm
so let's
let
do one other thing.
What's your impressions?
So I had the best time, but we're running out of time. And I want to announce that tonight, one of your racial coalitions forums on Zoom is going to happen at 7 p.m. Do me a favor, share this nice thing on my Facebook page so that our audience can see it if they want to be part of it, Wayne.
Absolutely. And you're all welcome. If you love me, if you hate us, that's fine. We're having a discussion that's hard about race, and we want to make the world a better place, and you can be a part of it. And so I thank WICC, you listeners, for listening in. And if you heard something great or even a little something, just invite people. You know, we're all on the same page.
Thanks, Wayne. We'll be chatting with you next Wednesday. More of the Lisa Wexler Show tomorrow. Paul Pacelli up from 2 to 6. You've been listening to the Lisa Wexler Show here on WICC 600 and WICC600.com. Have a great day.